Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, through our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. The sermon text for today is the Gospel lesson appointed for Reformation Sunday. I read to you from the Gospel according to St. John, the 8th chapter, starting at the 31st verse and reading through till the 36th verse. So Jesus said to the Jews who had believed in him, "If you abide in my word, you are truly my disciples, and you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free." They answered him, "We are offspring of Abraham, and have never been enslaved to anyone. How is it that you say you will become free?" Jesus answered them, "Truly, truly, I say to you, everyone who commits sin is a slave to sin. That slave does not remain in the house forever. The Son remains forever. So if the Son sets you free, you will be free indeed." Thus far the text, I invite you to bow your heads with me in prayer. Lord God, we thank you that you speak to us through your word. We ask now, dear God, that you help us to shut out all the things that are going on around us in this world, and that you open our hearts to receive what it is that you've prepared for us. These things we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. And may the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. My dear brothers and sisters in Christ Jesus our Lord, we can die trying to be perfect or live because of the one who perfects us. Discipline, according to some, is to carefully retrace every one of Christ's steps and follow him in everything he's done. Those seeking this form of discipleship say, for instance, we must walk in his compassion, and we must proclaim the kingdom of heaven to the world without reservation. Yes, agreed, we must. That's all part and parcel of being in Christ and bearing his cross. But they would also quickly add to that, that every disciple must also bear Christ's cross by being imitators of his perfection, that we must keep all of God's laws perfectly, as Jesus himself did. And they'll quickly quote Matthew 7:20 or verses like it that say you'll know them by their actions. Well, that's true and sound scriptural teaching. We need to remind ourselves of how a text of this nature can easily get twisted and even perverted and used against the teachings of Christ. Lest we forget, the Pharisees were known for their actions as well. Pharisees were perfectionists, insisting that true believers and true children of God must keep the law, all the laws and all the other teachings that had been brought down to them by those who deemed themselves learned. And the papists could be lumped in with this group too. The Reverend Dr. Martin Luther would certainly attest to that. They distorted God's word in very much the same way as the Pharisees, making human works meritorious, worthy of God's reward, and necessary for salvation. That kind of thinking, as I said, is a perversion of God's word. It's a teaching which comes from hearts that are filled with vanity. It pours out of the mouths of those who think that their ways are higher than God's ways and their thoughts higher than God's thoughts. That's something that Jesus himself even railed against. "You hypocrites," he said of them all. And quoting the prophet Isaiah in Matthew 15, he said, "Rightly did Isaiah prophesy of you. This people honors me with their lips, but their heart is far away from me. But in vanity do they worship me, teaching as doctrines the precepts of men." Now, I should stop here for a moment and say something, and I hope it lands on all of our hearts. We're susceptible to the same underlying phenomena. As sinful human beings born of Adam, it's our default setting to want to fall into step with what the Pharisees and the papists have taught. We can get very easily sucked into those erroneous teachings and even become teachers according to those ways. If we ourselves cannot confidently stand on our confession that Jesus Christ is our Savior and state without hesitation that we know that we're going to heaven when we shed these earthly tents of ours, then we're not abiding in Christ's words. And if we lay claim to any other means by which we're saved, we're lost. Our own works and our own righteousness cannot accomplish any of this. We can't keep the law perfectly. If we say Jesus and we preach destruction, and we're not his disciples. It's not my salvation is of God, and I will maintain my relationship with him by steadfastly following his laws. It's not Jesus is my Lord, and I'll prove my faith daily by striving against every temptation. No, it's I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserve your punishment now and forever. It's I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. It's I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being. Upon this, our confession, lies every single thing that we need and that the world needs to be set free from sin. Boundless grace and the mercy of God, our Heavenly Father, paired with the innocent, holy suffering and death of his beloved Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, God's Messiah, God's chosen one. God chooses no one else to take away our sins. When we truly believe that, we become disciples of Jesus and followers of his word, which is life. Then we can say, as King David so confidently said such a long time ago, my soul waits in silence for God only. From him is my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation, my stronghold. I shall not be greatly shaken. Psalm 62, 1 and 2. I shall not be greatly shaken. That's a marvelous, powerful statement that we can speak over and over again in the face of Satan's assaults. It comes out of Christ's assurance that says, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed. That's right in our sermon text. Not free to sin, but free from sin. The good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ frees us from the burden of the law. But it's in no way any kind of a license to sin, for sin will have no dominion over you, since you are not under the law, but under grace, Romans 6:14. I'd encourage you to read Romans, actually, for yourselves at home in your Bibles. Paul goes on to say in that very same chapter, Romans 6, that when you were slaves to sin, you were free from righteousness. What a horrible thing. That freedom produces nothing in terms of fruit, nothing, that is, except shame and death. Now the tables are turned. Righteousness has drawn itself close to you and gave you complete freedom to act within the bounds of God's love. Now your soul is associated with the fruit that leads to sanctification and life. You're no longer married to death. You, the bride, you, the church, are made holy by Christ by the shedding of his blood, and you shall remain in his house forever. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. That's your key verse for this week, Proverbs 3:5. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, and do not lean on your own understanding. For it is not he who commends himself that's approved, but he whom the Lord commends. 2 Corinthians 10:18. I pray that God's words rest upon your hearts, these words, and that you find comfort in him who has accomplished everything for your sake in Christ Jesus, in whose name we all say, Amen. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank you. You're the one who has accomplished everything that we need to be set free from sin. This is something that we cannot do on our own, and we pray that you help us to reject any doctrine that says we must work for our salvation, and instead turn to you and say, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your punishment now and forever. Help us to turn to your mercy, pleading for your forgiveness. And help us especially to know that your mercy is new every day, and that it will be meted out completely for the sake of your Son. Bless us as we go through this week, that we can proclaim that good news to those around us. This we ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. And may the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus, your Lord. Amen.